the role and I started learning more about who Abby was and what her experience was and the details that she shared in working at Planned Parenthood, it really opened my eyes to the reality of what abortion really is.
Ashley's mother, Ashley, then recalls a story of her mother telling her a family secret that she never heard before.
And she said, "I need to tell you something that I never told you before. When I was 19, I went to have an abortion with you."
Wow.
"I was in the clinic on the table, and the nurse was very pregnant, and she came in to examine me, and I got really sick to my stomach, and I knew I couldn't do it, and I got up, and I walked out, and I chose you, and I never knew that." I mean,
wow.
It blows my mind that I never knew that about myself until after I had stepped into this role to play Abby Johnson and tell one of the greatest pro-life stories of all time.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
So hello, it's Jill Peters, and we're going to get on with Real Estate Matters, and we're going to give you a monthly update as to what happened. I've been gone for a couple of weeks, so we're about 2 weeks late with it, but it's pretty germane because it is a slow time of the year, but we're seeing a lot of activity. Before we do that, one thing I'd like to do is get you the Weber Report. We have somebody who sponsors it, so let me play their intro first.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
So, hey, it's Joe Peters, and I'm just bringing the weather forecast up, and we're going to give you what's happening weather-wise. So let's start with today's date. Today is the 18th of December. Next Tuesday will be, and it's 2018, next Tuesday will be our Christmas, and the following Tuesday, New Year. So there won't be any shows for the next 2 weeks. So in 3 weeks, I'll be back with the December update, but we're looking at 37 degrees today as the high, 45 tomorrow. We're going to go all the way up to almost 60 on Friday, so that's good news. Tonight's going to be 21, tomorrow night 28, and then it's going to be 40 overnight for the next few nights, and then Saturday, Sunday, back to the 40s. So it's typical December. We don't have anything but rain in sight. It looks like that's what's going to turn the Thursday, Friday temperature around, and it's good to see that although we had some snow 3 weeks ago, there's nothing on the forecast right now. So once again, today is the 18th of December, 2018. It's 4:04. And let me play a few of our paid commercials, and I'll be right back.
On Thursday, November 8th, from 2 till 7 p.m., the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce will be holding its 30th Annual Business Expo and Food Showcase, presented by PNC Bank. It'll be held at Next Level Arena in Flemington, featuring over 100 exhibitors, demos, a chance to enter the cash machine, door prizes, and food tastings from local restaurants. From 4 till 6, meet Bill Spadia from New Jersey 101.5. Admission is free. For details, call the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit hunterdonchamber.org.
Sorry about that. They still have it on my schedule, but that event was over. It was a door buster. They had so many people, it was overflow. Here's a few more.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, hunterdonchamberradio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future. How they...
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
And let me introduce myself.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
So, hey, our apologies. Our video part of the ad is, or the show is not working. I'm told by the time we get back after Christmas, we'll have that up and running, and I think it's much more effective when you see both the host and the guests on the air. But for now, the replay is available on the podcast, and I'm going to tell you what's happening real estate-wise. First thing, today is the 18th of December, 2018. This is a report ending the end of month November. I call it the December report. It runs through the end of month November. And the market has been very active, even though it's sort of a dead time of the year. I think there's a couple of things coordinating. The economy is extremely good. We're going to go through that in a little more detail as we talk. But secondly, the weather hasn't been all that bad. We had one snowy spell, and other than that, it's been holding. Once it starts snowing, we typically stop, not dead, but pretty slow in our tracks until we get back to the spring thaw. So what's happening? I break this report into two different parts. And if you go to jpeters.com, that's my website. And if you go to blog and then market reports, you can see both the Hunterdon and Somerset copy or version of this market update. And I break it into two sections, what's happening and then why it's happening. So let me go through what's happening in Hunterdon. I'll talk a little bit about Somerset, and then I'm going to go in depth as to why these things are happening. What is happening? Based on our last full contract sale, statistics show approximately a six-month or normal inventory. Once again, 4 to 6 months is about where things are normal. If we get 7 months worth of inventory on hand, well, then we've probably got pressure on prices, and if we get under four, we actually have prices rising. So how do we come up with most inventory? We divide the number of units that went under contract into the number of units that were available for the last 30 days. And let's say we have 100 units available and 25 on under contract. Well, then we have 4 months of supply. It's not the ones that have sold. It's the ones that went under contract in the last 30 days. So we're at 6 months supply. That's pretty good for this time of the year. I see it up at 9 and 10 a lot of times. And I actually break this down by both price point and town for you. Units going under contract averaged 71 days, and there were 124 properties going under contract in the month of November, where the previous month we actually had 146. So it slipped a little. 124 versus 141 in October. And then we had newly listed properties at 141. So the numbers, 78% of all of our sales are under 500,000 market. here in Hunterdon County is a typically somewhere between 75% to 80%. 22% of those houses over 500,000, as far as the houses went under contract, and then only 2% or 3 sales in total were over 700,000. So we drop off precipitously once we get over 700,000. And if you look at that's roughly 2% of sales. I said it already, or 3 sales over 700,000. We actually had one in the sevens, and we had two in the eights, none in the nines, none over $1 million. So even though we're at 6% in general, some price points are quite a bit higher. We hold tight till 600,000. Everything there is under 6% or under. But 6 to 7 is a 15-month supply. 7 to 8 is a 44-month supply. 8 to 9, we don't have a lot there, but it's a 20-month supply. And then we actually have no market for the last few months for the 9 to a million and a million and over. Our average price, as far as new listings, has been $503,000, and our average price as far as sales is $375,000, or 25% less. Now, if you think about it, it takes 71 days, according to last month's numbers, to sell a house. So the houses that are listing for $506,000 will sit on the market at least 2 to 3 months before they get an offer. That's the average. And they'll probably sell at the point they do sell at somewhere around 96-97% of their list price. But that list price will drop a couple of times on a lot of these listings because they're testing the market, which is a total mistake in my mind. But people like that. Let's list it a little high and see what it sells for. And I think that's what you're seeing there. Then we take a look at the same figures as the actual town. And there were 3 areas in Hunterdon County that reported no sales at all for the last month: Frenchtown, Lebanon, and Stockton. Now, that's Lebanon Borough. Lebanon Borough doesn't have a lot of inventory. In effect, there's only 5 houses for sale, and none have sold. But we usually get about 1 sale a month in there. But Frenchtown and Stockton are to the far west, and those are the hardest hit areas in our county. There's 10 areas that reported 2 areas or less: Bethlehem itself, Bloomsbury, Clinton Town, Califon, Franklin, Flemington, Hampton, Kingwood, Milford, West Amwell. Now, those, about 5 of them are to the far west, and 2 of them are a little bit remote. West Amwell and Califon are a little bit remote, but Bloomsbury, Bethlehem's pretty far to the west, Franklin, Hampton, far to the north, Kingwood, Milford, West Amwell. You can see that certain towns, well, let me combine the two. It's price point in town. If you're above 500,000, you're going to have a much better chance of selling your house if you're in one of the 3 hot spots, and that's Reddington, Raritan, and Clinton Township. If you're at any price and you're out at the far west, the far north, or the far south, you're going to have a little longer sales cycle. There is a market no matter where we go, and that can be adjusted by lowering the price. Sometimes you just can't. There's no money left in equity. But Clinton Township had 15 sales. Reddington had 23. Raritan had 23, and Reddington had 16. Those 3 areas were 44% of our sales. And as I said, average list price $503, average under contract $375. The interesting point here is that not only is it price and location, but we actually have to look at the price point within your location. And that's not laid out on this. That takes a little bit more study, and I do that for my customers when they're ready to take a look at listing the house, to tell them what most current sales are, what the competition looks like, and but to get an accurate price point for your property based on its location and price point, you need to contact me, Joe Peters, 908-238-0118. And I can use Coldwell Banker's big data technology capabilities. Will put you at an advantage. It can show you the latest age and earnings breakdown for your particular area, and we can show you where people moving into that area are coming from, and we can then advertise back to those areas and demographics directly. Houses priced and marketed accurately sell faster, especially with real estate industry veteran and local expert helping you, and that's me, navigate this process. So let me say that without reading it because it comes out a little bit smoother. A lot of people like to test the market. It's a dumb idea. It's you cannot tell people what your house is worth. People, the buyers, will tell you what their house is worth by the offers. And you'll see a lot of listings sit out there for 6 months to a year before the owners get realistic and realize that they could have had that money in the bank for that year and then start lowering the price. And then what happens is the buyers say, why has it been on the market so long? What's wrong with it? There's really nothing wrong with it other than the price was too high. So I tell my people, you're probably a little bit better even underpricing it by a percent or two to attract people to it, because you can't list the price too low. If you list a price too high, you'll get very few listings. I should say very few showings. And of the showings you get, you'll get no offers. If a house is listed for 3 or 4 months in this market below $700,000 and you haven't received an offer, you're listed too high. If you've got an offer and the offer is more than 10% less than your asking price, your price is much too high. Those are two barometers that we use statewide, not just for Hunterdon County. So the goal is to find a real estate specialist can help you price it accurately and market it and use things like Coldwell Banker's big data to tell you what the demographics are for the customers that are buying the houses in your area, and then where those people are most likely moving from, and let them advertise directly to those zip codes and those profiles so that those people are seeing your listings on a frequent basis. That's what's happening in Hunterdon County. Hotspots, Reddington, Raritan, and then Clinton Township. That's almost half of the market. And the dead spots are Frenchtown, Lebanon last month, Stockton. And then if you look at the really high month supply, Kingwood, Franklin, Bethlehem, further to the west, Tewksbury. Never understood Tewksbury other than price point. Tewksbury is the very closest exit to New York. We have 96 listings in Tewksbury, pre-sold. That's 32 month supply. And I guarantee you, if you look at that up in the sevens and eights, it's higher than that. So it's just a high-priced area. It's a really nice area. And what we see is it's a market where price sensitivity has come back into play. And as a result, we're seeing very, very slow appreciation, if any, in the higher price points. So let's talk about what's happening in Somerset County, just to contrast Hunterdon to Somerset. If you remember, I said Hunterdon sold 124 houses, or at least went under contract. Somerset sold 276, roughly double. Hunterdon had 800 listed. Somerset's got 1,300 listed. Hunterdon had an average list price of $503. Somerset's got an average list price of $523. That's a little low because I think Hunterdon is really a little high because Somerset's usually about 20%. Hunterdon's average sale price for contracts for the last 30 days was $374 and change, where Somerset's was $440, round numbers. Somerset sold in 61 days, where Hunterdon was 71 days. So if you take 20% of the $375, that's roughly your $440 number. That number's holding true. Interesting point is that in Somerset County, we're averaging 5 months supply. So it's a much better inventory position. And all the way down through the 600K, we're under 5 months supply. You get into the 700Ks, 6 to 7, it's a 7 month. 7 to 8, it's an 8 month. And above that, it's a year or more. But in general, selling well. 63% of all houses in Somerset selling for under 500K, or 78% in Hunterdon. 28% of Somerset County are selling between 500 and a million, and almost 10% or 26 of their sales sold for over a million. So they're sitting with a million and up with close to a two-year supply. There's 200 free listings. We sold 10. That's 20.3 months worth of inventory. And 26 new ones came on last month. So Somerset, what can I say? It's closer to New York. There's more houses for sale. There's more demand. Things sell quicker. There were two towns in Somerset that had no activity last month, Millstone and Peapack Gladstone. Both sort of on the high end, but also both very small towns. A lot of times they have no activity. Two areas reported one or two sales, Far Hills and Rocky Hill. And then the usual hot spots, Bernards, Bridgewater, Franklin, Hillsborough, Montgomery, and Somerset County. Those equaled 60% of the sales for the last month. Their average sale price listing of 523 and selling of 440, roughly 16% less. Same thing here. You've got certain towns that are in better shape than others. Manville, 11-month supply. Montgomery, 12-month supply. Everybody else, single digits. And two, Millstone and Peapack Gladstone, no sales whatsoever. So how could I characterize that market? I think we're seeing more listings coming on than we normally see for this time of the year. Usually we're seeing very few listings coming on. And I think that's a result of people realizing they've got equity and the economy is doing good and it's time to move on, time to get on with your life, as we say it. But I think the as this showed the what is happening, this next section is going to show you why it's happening. New Jersey home sales, and these are under New Jersey economic drivers. For the first time in 3 years, we've seen a small improvement on the inventory situation over the past 4 months, but it's still below what we need, and let's hope that it's the beginning of a trend. The still low inventory numbers have led to a bit of softening in the price appreciation of existing homes and a slowdown in growth. It could turn the tide back to it being a buyer's market instead of being a seller's market in some price points. Modest increase of 1% in home sales in New Jersey in November. Let's call it flat, but it's better than a decline. Activity concentrates in the under 400,000 market, where the millennial buyers are transitioning into home ownership. The segment has shown a 6% decline in sales due to lack of inventory, minus 1,500 units versus a year ago. So what we're saying there is we could sell a lot more if we had more inventory and a lower price points. During the same period, the number of houses being offered for sale remained low, but was rising slightly. During the same period, we saw a modest increase across all price points under 400. There's also been an improvement in the very high-end towns where rail service into Manhattan is available. We don't have much of that in Huntington, but we do in Somerset. At the same time, number of homes for sale in New Jersey remained low, but rising slightly last month. Supply increased by 600 homes compared to a year ago. Currently, we still have 33,000 fewer homes, or 45%. Less than we had in 2011, which was our very peak. Current unsold inventory in New Jersey varies widely, and some having only, by county, and with some having only 4 months. No county presently has more than 9 months' supply. The average was 4.3. There's still an acute shortage of inventory, both in Huntington and Somerset County, in our most popular price points are the under 400K. And in Somerset, it's probably almost under 500K because they're getting about 20% more. We still have an acute shortage. 100 in Somerset County have about the same inventory we had a year ago, but are both about 10% less than 2 years ago. And there have been some gentle pullback in 2018 as a reaction to what is considered price sensitivity towards some of the existing inventory. Also, we are not, and what does that mean? That means we're not seeing the appreciation that we saw the year before. The buyers are saying it's not worth that price, I won't pay it. And we're also now seeing some millennials coming back into our local area. There was a point where they were just bailing on us. We're starting to see them come back, especially after the first child. Interest rates, they're holding tight. We're probably going to have a new Fed report tomorrow. It's 50-50 as to whether or not it's going to go up a little, but we're sitting around 4.9%, 4.3% for 15 years, and 5 years about 4.15. Consumer fears of steadily rising interest rates and slowly rising home prices during the current market demand are driving the market. The Fed already has instituted several initial increases and are talking about additional ones. Industry analysts forecast nearly 5% interest rate by the end of 2018 and 5.5% by the end of 2019. If the rate merely went from 4% to 5% this year, and that's where it was at the beginning of the year, 4%, and it gets up to 5%, which is almost where it's at, buyers lost 9% of their buying power. So, if at the beginning of the year they could afford a $500,000 house, at the end of the year, if they didn't buy one, they could only afford a $455,000. On top of it, the more popular price points went up 6 and 7% in price. So, not only did they lose 9% from the buying power, the price went up. So now they could only afford a 4.25%. So, waiting is a trap, and it makes pricing get out of reach for people, and it makes people decide that's not the kind of place I want to live in. The fear of increasing rates coupled with steadily increasing prices is driving the market. The national job front, U.S. unemployment remained at a 49-year low at 3.7%. There was an addition of 250,000 jobs in October. And then we were a little off in November. I didn't include that into this because it came out just last week after this was published. The trend's expected to continue. But the recent Tax and Jobs Act has helped us. On a national level, the U.S. is going to have 2.25 million jobs this year, 2,250,000. And that's year-to-date, so that's only through November. And it could be roughly 2.6 by end of year, depending on the November and December. It's a 27% increase over the prior year and the eighth consecutive year of 2 million-plus job growth. At the end of July, there were 7 million job openings and only 6 million unemployed people. So we said, well, we're at full employment. We really are at full employment. If you consider we have 200 million people in the job force, 3% are unemployable due to seasonality and medical issues, and some people are just where the jobs aren't. The jobs are in place A and the people are in place B. So 6 million unemployed on the 200 million, that's your 3%. What it's driving, and I just came back, we spent a couple of weeks in Florida, it's driving prices per labor up because they can't get people. We were in the Florida Keys. It was an interesting analogy that the guy drew in the timeshare where we own. And he said that, in effect, Florida Keys, this is not the mainland, but we're talking about 2 hours south of Miami drive time, so you can't commute there, is a $12 an hour typical labor force. But because of the hurricane activity from last year and the fact that there are no people, those people are now earning somewhere between $24 and $30 an hour. And they can't get enough people. So the people that are there are experiencing enormous earning growth and are working many, many hours, 7 days a week, lots of hours per day, all the hours they could stand. But it's still not enough to bring the people from the mainland Florida down. $30 isn't enough to attract new people in, because they're earning more than that where they're at, and there is no inventory for them to purchase or rent in the Keys, and as a result, it's constrained. That same problem happens elsewhere in the country to variable degrees. People say, so what's the problem? 7 million plus jobs, 6 million unemployed. Why don't we just get those people working and we don't have a million jobs left? Well, A, skill set. B, location. C, some people are hard unemployed. They either have a medical issue, they have, they're not where the jobs are, or not skilled for the jobs that are there. New Jersey job front. Our rate dropped to 4.1%, bolstering the consumer confidence in New Jersey as well. We're dealing with full employment here. Go through a storefront and see if there isn't a job help wanted ad. The jobs that were paying $9 an hour are now paying $12 an hour. We don't need to raise the minimum wage. It's taking care of itself. New Jersey added 17,000 jobs in September and 66,000 jobs year to date. We're looking at it being 70,000 jobs by year end. Level of jobs created is a much higher level than over the past few years, and these are people that should be able to be buying houses if there were houses available to sell them. Rental trends. We have an extremely tight rental market. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on rentals, but I want to give you a few of the highlights. Rentals are for two, maybe three types of people. They're for the starters who haven't amassed enough equity or money to buy a house. It takes about 6%, 3% for the closing cost, and 3% for down payment minimum to get into a house. So if you're going to buy a $200,000 house, you're talking about $12,000. Some people just don't have the $12,000. Some people borrow from mom and dad. Some mom and dads give it to them just to get rid of them, get them out of the house. But they're in a rental market. They're going to go out and rent. And when they rent, they're going to pay a disproportionate amount of their income for that rental. And as a result of that, they're going to get into that trap of not being able to save. Rentals should be 20% of your income. If it's above 30%, you're into the trap that you're not going to get out of and that you're not saving any money. And then what we're seeing is a lot of movement towards the urban areas like near New York, and the rentals are even higher yet. They could be 40 or 50% of your gross income. And then the area itself is more expensive to live in. Although they're moving there for mass transportation, they may not need a car. A lot of factors come into play. But what we're looking at is, I think it was Trulia that said the average, we're still having an extremely high tide of improving rental market, and Trulia states that on average it is 26% less expensive to own than to rent. Plus, think about it. When you own, there's equity. There's tax incentives. It's really a tax shelter. And the other thing we're finding is that the average person who rents has $5,000 in net income, but the average person that owns has $230,000. Not instantly, but the average, $230,000 in net wealth. So you're starting to see one foot's on the dock and one foot's on the boat, and they're moving apart and they're not coming back together, so that the people who own are getting wealthier, not rich, but their assets, their net worth are growing, and the people that rent are making other people wealthy. Number of renters has increased by 7% over the past 25 years. We are up to almost 73% home ownership when this debacle that we had in the late 2005 to 2010, where we're giving everybody a mortgage. Now it's dropped back to about, it dropped all the way down to 63%. It's now up to about 65%. That's about the normal rent rate for ownership, because some of the people who owned previously shouldn't have owned a house. Foreclosure market. New Jersey continues to face high foreclosure filings, but we're improving. Figures vary by local market, especially those walloped by Hurricane Sandy 3 years ago are still a problem. We're ranked number 5 for years. We were number 1 in the nation. And we're led by New York, Florida, Mississippi, Louisiana. And then we're trailed by Maine, Florida, Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Alabama. So Florida's in there twice, and I'm not sure why, but it's right. Florida's usually ahead of New Jersey, and I think we're about even with them. So we're sitting with a 2.9%, which ranks us at number 5. We had, in 2017, 70,150 foreclosure filings, or 5% less than a year before. Based on year-to-date numbers for 2018, this could fall another 11,000 to somewhere around 11% to somewhere around 62,000. And that's good news. But there's a lot of foreclosures to burn through yet. And to some extent, it's helping the market by adding inventory. Tax cuts and the effect of the new tax act. There was a lot of speculation that we were going to kill the market when that came out. But, and you took a look at 3 different areas. State and local taxes, or SALT as they called it, mortgage interest deductions, and home equity line of credit. Well, you didn't, each one of these had an interesting twist. And the market has a way of correcting itself. But first of all, for the state and you had a $10,000 max on the state and local tax deduction. Yeah, people used to have $20,000 deduct or $18,000 or $16,000 and they lost some of it. But at the same time, their tax brackets slid down and there was no impact. If anything, they raised it a little. Only the upper 1%, even upper half of 1%, got affected by that issue. The mortgage and interest deductions, same thing. Yes, you lost some of it, but no, when you added it all together, it wasn't as bad as you thought it was going to be, or as the opposition to the new Tax and Jobs Act depicted it, it might be. And thirdly, we haven't filed our taxes yet. So I would think somewhere in the January, February, you're going to have a lot of surprised people saying, wow, I really made out with this, or wow, I didn't put enough money away, and it did affect me. But the numbers I saw said you've got to make over $400,000 before the SALT affected you, and you've got to own a house that's over $1 million. That's a lot of money. That's a bit really high end of our market. The home equity line of credit disappeared, but things, once again, there's ways around everything. What people decided to do is rather to carry the home equity line, they refinanced their primary mortgage and paid off the things that were not tax deductible, so that the primary mortgage is now a tax deduction. Let me give you a recap. And a recap is, I have a mouse sneaking through my office going, squeak, squeak. The recap is pretty interesting because it talks through some of the things I alluded to, but it presents it in a more logical fashion. In 2017, we had our seventh straight year of 2 million plus job gains. Although improving in 2018, the job situation has been declining for the last 2 years. Now, ...4.1% unemployment in New Jersey is almost 11% above the national average. The best paying jobs and the most attractive jobs are near to New York. Interest rates have been rising, have risen over 0.75% since the first of the year, and probably another quarter by the end. So we're figuring a 4% to 5% jump this year. And house prices have risen 6% to more popular prices, and barely appreciable over that area, the over 500. Baby boomers are choosing to stay put and update rather than move up. And it's no longer considered a sound investment to move up, and that's why. And there's no entry-level construction going on in our area. It's just larger homes and new rentals. So why are larger homes being built? Well, we sort of jurisdicted ourselves into that because we said we don't want kids of school age moving into our area unless we can collect taxes to support them. So we said in order to collect taxes to support them, you got to build a 3,000-square-foot house on at least an acre of land. And as a result, we're now building houses nobody wants. It solved the problem with the schools, but it didn't solve the problem with the housing. It created it. Baby boomers, as I said, are choosing to stay put. We're experiencing current housing inventory shortage, and foreclosures are in a decline, but still helping out here a little bit. Also, there's confidence in a new tax adding fervor jobs, and the new tax rules appear to only be applying to the very high-end buyers. Now, at the same time, we're having a change in lifestyle. Average age at marriage is now in the late 30s, up 7 years from just a decade ago. Families usually having one or two children due to the cost of having children and ease and ability to choose. 65% of all New Jersey homes have no children of school age. 50% don't have two people in them. Demand for larger houses has diminished as a result. And not only in New Jersey, but everywhere in the country. As a result, the job situations, buyers are gravitating to being within 15 miles of New York City. That's where it's easy to commute and where you can get to the good paying jobs. 80% of consumers still perceive home ownership as the American dream. It's just that what they want to buy is different. Builders have been thinking four-bedroom center hall colonials. Once again, they're jurisdicted into this on 1 acre plus. But buyers are thinking smaller luxury high-rises closer to mass transportation and work. Truly a mismatch. And for the first time in history, Hunterdon County, which has been declining in population, has had less births than deaths. So not only have we had outward migration and lack of inward immigration, we're just losing more people than we're replacing them with. Market conditions. We're still seeing warnings of economic slowdown, but they're at least 2020, maybe further. We're into our eighth year of economic improvement. The effect on housing will probably be limited to curtailing the growth of appreciation if there is a economic slowdown, but not a loss in value. In general, homeowners are still getting equity, sitting with more equity than ever. New Jersey reports 92% positive equity and no longer using their homes as ATM, which is good news. Consumer confidence remains extremely high nationwide, based on the job and stock market increases, and that varies by day. The confidence in reflected in buyer traffic up at open houses. However, the lack of inventory to have open houses at has hurt that a little bit. Affordability will never be this good a shape as interest and price increases continue to rise. Millennials make up 24% of our current home ownership. That number could double if we had enough houses to sell them. Central New Jersey trend for 16 and 17 showed a surge in home sales, but price increases only on the houses clustered under 400,000. The over 500 holds steady to diminishing slightly, depending on your location and your price. Often a $600,000 house or greater is competing with what used to be a $700,000 house that can't sell, and it's knocking the prices back down below it. Analysts' five-year forecasts show that we have a slow and steady but diminishing price growth. Annual average 3-4%. Price growth will remain higher in the under 400K market. There's an acute shortage of inventory in both Hunterdon and Somerset County in our more popular price points, and this holds back sales. In general, we have only about 50% of the inventory that we had in 2011. However, it's a slight improvement in inventory has over the past 4 months. It's simple. We could sell more houses if we had more inventory. And as we started to see small inventory increases over the past 4 months, that's good news. As a result, 2019 can be a boom for real estate. The 2017 prices rose an average of 3.5%, depending on the price points and location. 2018 promises to be more like 5%, but I think we're going to see it pull back in 2019 into 20, back to more like 3%. The good news is that the mortgage delinquency numbers have normalized. We're not with high numbers. That's resulting in the lack of foreclosures, or at least the diminishing number in the foreclosures. So what's our forecast? Our forecast is the economy will continue to prosper with no recession currently in sight for at least 24 months. And there's more likely to be only an impact on the rate of price appreciation if it does adjust. Interest rates will climb by 5% this year and further decreasing our buying power. Home prices will rise an average of another 3% during the same period, and this will depend on your price point and location, further decreasing your buying activity. While improving, supply will remain tight in the more popular price points in the residential areas. Many of the new jobs seem to be resulting from the Tax and Jobs Act. Just look at the help wanted signs. And they're better jobs because these people are moving up. But for the first time in memory, U.S. is reporting 7 million jobs and only 6 million people. We are at full employment, if you consider that 3% are unemployable. And that's not Joe Peters' number. That's basic economics 101. We now need to match the skills and the job openings location and to prosper further, as many four-year degrees keep being obtained that are not useful in our current job market. They're sort of getting a degree in what mom and dad had, but it's not the kind of skills we need. Quite honestly, if we could take our two-year people and train them, they could probably make better dollars than the four-year people going to the higher-end schools. I'll give you a good example. Raritan Valley, Mike McDonough, who's the president there, told us at a recent thing that he's looking at jobs paying 90 to 110 for two-year college people with right certifications as far as technical skills. Computer-aided manufacturing, robotics, welding, big, and that's not the old welding that we use. It's computer-aided welding. That spreads across many industries. He's saying, you want to go to where mom and dad went to school, and you want to get a four-year degree in something mom and dad think you should have a four-year degree in. That fulfills part of your parents' dream and part of your dream, and you're not doing anything wrong. But you're probably going to earn substantially lower, probably in the $75,000 range, than what somebody with a two-year degree with the right technical skills is earning, who's starting off at $90,000 locally. Secondly, that person has 2 years less education, 2 years more earning power, 2 years less college to pay back. I'm not saying four-year degrees are out. We are saying that a good percentage of the four-year degrees are not usable, or at least they're not going to earn what the 2 years with the right technical skills are earning. The affordability index shows that there's room for much more sales. We just need an increase in inventory. And the most affordable time to buy is now. It's going to be more expensive as prices go up and as interest goes up. Some decrease in moderate pricing, home ownership, could result in raising of our standard deduction. So I said again, some decrease in moderate price houses. Okay, so what happened was we raised the standard deduction. We've actually doubled it. And people used to buy a house to get a tax shelter. So now they're going to get a tax shelter whether they buy a house or not. So the reason to buy a house to get the tax deduction has disappeared. And that's an interesting problem, and I don't think it's come home to roost yet. So I think we need to watch that. Some high-end fallout could result that upper 1%, somebody earning over $400,000 is going to pay more taxes, and as a result, he may not buy as big of a house. The commercial real estate is flourishing. I'm just talking about residential. The commercial has got some new tax incentives on depreciation that are knocking the socks off of that industry. And I'm understanding that where we are experiencing very high vacancy rates in commercial, and the properties a commercial industry would be taking, we're now, especially along the busy corridors, almost sold out. People in their houses more than 10 years. Interesting phenomenon. Once you get past the 10-year mark, you start paying your mortgage down rapidly, more rapidly than you realize. So instead of paying maybe 5% like you'd pay on a 30-year mortgage in your first year, you're now probably paying down 20%. That's an exaggeration, but you're paying a lot down every year to the point where you may be the average. In New Jersey, is 78% of all homeowners in New Jersey have more than 20% equity. Once they discover they have that equity, in a lot of cases, they want to sell their house. Why do they want to sell their house? Because they now want to move into the type of house they now need for their current lifestyle. May not be the same town, may not be the same type of house. Maybe a smaller house, maybe a 55-plus house, maybe a rental. We're seeing lots and lots and lots of rentals. Last year's construction numbers were primarily in the rental. No, you cannot purchase type market or a rental-only market. So where do we go from here? We have an interesting phenomenon in front of us. The economy is doing well. There's no end in sight. Yeah, we may have a recession in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, but it's not going to affect a drop in prices. It's going to affect a less increase in prices as it starts to happen. And as a result, the house is still a good investment. And it's still a good tax incentive, unless you fall into that $300,000 average price in New Jersey for a house is $300,000. So we happen to sell for much more in Hundred and Somerset because we're more affluent counties. But people who would go out and buy a $300,000 house in order to start a tax incentive would not do that anymore. But that's not all of the market. That's just some of the market. People going out and buying a $400,000 and a $500,000 are getting nice tax write-offs, both to the interest and for the local taxes. I think what we're going to see is a continuation of more of the same, but at a less of a rate. So we're still going to have a shortage of inventory at the popular price points. But as we open up more moderate priced inventory in the 4 to 6 range, I think you'll see some of the people that are in the 3 to 4 range sell and move up. That hasn't happened recently, but I think it will start to happen because there's more and more inventory becoming available and there's more and more competition, so some of it looks like really good buys to them. And I know we did it. When the kids were gone, we decided to buy the house that we wanted, and it was on the edge of being a mega mansion for two people. It was over 4,000 square feet. It was more house than we needed, but it's what we wanted. People aren't doing it anymore, but I think it's going to pick up a little. I don't think it's going to resume to where it was. So I think that will open up for more low-end inventory as they sell their houses to first- and second-time buyers. And I think the market will sort of bootstrap itself and get going. We need to get a handle on our affordable housing because that is stopping us at the very low end. And we really haven't seen any entry-level housing being built anywhere. The entry-level housing that's being built is being built as rentals. And that is an issue, but it's an issue that's being handled town by town, and I think we'll get around it. I think we're in fair shape. You know, where we looked at this market some 3, 4, 5 years ago and said, wow, look at these short sales and foreclosures, they're coming down. We looked at the delinquencies. They're coming down. We looked at people using their house as an ATM. It's stopping. People are managing their finances at a more logical, more beneficial rate. And as a result, they're adding equity to their current housing. And as a result of that, they're going to be able to move up, move sideways, move down, sell it and rent, do whatever it is they want, but it's going to create more inventory in the price points where we need inventory under 400,000. This has been Joe Peters. I'm going to play my introduction one more time so you know how to get a hold of me. I'd love to talk to you. And I sell across both Hunterdon and Somerset County, and I am here when you need me. And the best time to start talking is when you're starting to think about doing something, not when you're ready. Signing out, I'll be back in January with my next monthly report. Thank you very much.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
USA Radio News.
All sides seem to be talking regarding a funding bill that would fund the government and stop a partial government shutdown. Although Republican Senator Rand Paul tells Fox News, there's one thing people seem to forget when we have all this talk about shutdowns.
I think shutdowns are more hype than reality. I think the thing that should upset the American people is that it actually costs more to shut it down because we always pay the people for not working. So they'll declare 80% of the people up here unessential, meaning they don't have to show up for work, but we always pay them. I don't understand that. They're unessential. We keep paying them.
Former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn was supposed to be sentenced today for lying to FBI agents about contact he had with top Russian officials. Now, that was delayed for 90 days. Meanwhile, stocks were in positive territory today, with the Dow gaining 83 points to close at 23,676. This is USA Radio News.
If you're like most people and you see two gas stations and one sells gas for a little bit less, you go to that one. It just makes sense. Every little bit helps. But here's what's weird, though. Sometimes we save a few pennies here and there and ignore opportunities to save huge money, life-changing money. If you switch to MediShare for your health care, it could be massive savings for you. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Think what you could do with that over time. Just doing the math, that's $6,000 a year. That is significant. And yes, people love it, and they love it because it works. It's believers who share each other's health care costs. More than 400,000 people are now members of MediShare, and it's growing like crazy. Find out how much you could save and why MediShare is so popular. Go to MediShare.com or call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. MediShare.com or 855-90-PSALM.
The White House indicated on Tuesday they are doing their best to avoid a partial government shutdown and are looking for alternate funding for President Trump's border wall if Congress doesn't meet his demands. The president's former top economic advisor, Gary Cohen, tells CBS this morning that a shutdown is not good.
We never want to see the government shut down. Mm-hmm. Shutting a government down, shutting a business down is never a good move. Mm-hmm. I'm hopeful that the Congress can get together in the next couple days here and deliver something to the president that makes sense that he's willing to sign.
The former head of CBS will not cash in on his way out the door after multiple sexual abuse allegations surface. USA Radio Network's Robin Walensky has the details.
He's going to pay the price for his conduct. The board of directors at CBS announced former CEO Les Moonves will not get his $120 million severance package. Moonves forced out in September following allegations of sexual misconduct.
Actress Penny Marshall died at the age of 75. This is USA Radio News.
A newborn king to see, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. Our finest gifts we bring, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum, rum-pa-bum-bum, rum-pa-bum-bum.
Peace on earth, can it be?
And yes,